First Timothy 2, go over there, 1 Timothy 2. I want to deal tonight with three vital things in the life of a believer. Three vital things. The word vital means something that's necessary to life. Vital in the life of a believer. This is addressed, this message is addressed to believers. That's who Paul addresses in this epistle to Timothy, a young man who's a believer. And he tells him to pray and to read and these things. And that's what I want to deal with tonight. I'm not going to talk too much about each thing. We're not going to deal with them per se so much as just encourage us all to pray and to read God's word and to hear it preached. Okay? Now in salvation, the first thing that comes is hearing it. Listen to Romans 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you don't call him till he calls you. How shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you go backwards. You hear, they believe, and they call. That's when you call, after you've heard. Okay, so in salvation. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. Life is given when the Lord speaks to you. And he says, like in Ezekiel 16, I passed by you and I said, live, and you live. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Preach to them. When he preaches, they live. It's the word of life. So life is given by hearing the word. That's where it began. Life is proved. We know that we have life when we believe. We call. He that believeth hath life. Okay. And call. We call. All who truly hear Christ's voice, he will hear theirs. They will call. Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord saved that self-righteous Pharisee, the first thing he said to Ananias was, you'll find he's praying. Well, didn't he pray before? Yeah, but he was like the Pharisee to hear himself speak. He loved to be heard. And now he's calling on the Lord. So all who Christ calls, they call on him. And he continues to call. And all whom he calls, they keep calling for the rest of their lives. They never quit calling. He calls them, and they never quit calling on him. That's how you know. Listen to 1 Corinthians. He says to those that are called to be saints, to all that in every place call on the name of the Lord. God is faithful, by whom you were called. So, God calls, we live, we believe, and then we call on him. And Peter said, to whom coming? Didn't he? That means we keep coming. How's that? Keep coming to hear the word. Keep coming to read the word. We keep coming to pray and call on him. These three vital things in the life of a believer. Vital for faith. He's talking. I got a hold of three preachers that I value their judgment. And I asked them for the best title for this message individually. And I thought I'd take the consensus. And of the four of us, three of us came up with this title. Praying, reading, preaching. That is an ongoing thing in it. Praying, it's continual. Reading, you never quit. Always reading. And hearing, we never quit. Hearing the preaching, hearing his voice. Three vital things. Vital for faith, vital for growth, vital for growth and grace, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more you call, pray, communicate with him, the more you'll know him. You hear it? Draw nigh unto God. What does it say?
Draw nigh unto Right.
You're drawn out. The more you call, the more you communicate. It's like anybody else. The more you talk to them, the more you know them, don't you? Well, he knows all about us. He sure does. He knows our praying. Call. Talk to him. The more you read of him, the more you'll know him. And behold, in his, Paul wrote about this, didn't he? That beholding his face in a glass, we're changed from the same image, aren't we? We behold him. The more you read of him, the more you'll know about him, of him. The more you hear about him, the more you'll know him and love him. Vital things. Not necessarily in this order, because they always all go together. Right? Can't do without any of the three. Okay? But praying, if you'd ask me though, praying, because before you read the scriptures, you're not going to get anything out of the word if you don't ask the Lord to speak to you. You're just not. I know that from experience and then from the word of God. You're probably not getting anything out of the preaching if you don't ask the Lord to speak to you. Right? So praying is vital. Vital. You nurses, we've got some nurses in here. I'm laughing because I asked Robin a question about the heart and a stroke, and I wanted to use an illustration. She gave me a three-page dissertation on what strokes and all that. And, okay, thank you. Well, I wanted a simple answer. But I'm glad you gals are so proficient at this, Ellen. But you take vital signs, don't you? You go to the doctor. I went there today. I went every day. And the first thing they do is they take your vital sign. What's that? Your pulse. Your pulse. Are you living? Is your heart beating? Your pulse. And your temperature. Take your temperature. They took mine. It said 97. They run that thing over your head. You know, I said, is that my IQ? 97. I'm going to cool, dude. Your breathing, your oxygen rate, you know, and your blood pressure and other things. But these are vital things in the life of a believer. Okay? Reading, prayer, reading, and hearing God's word. First thing, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at this. Paul is exhorting this young preacher, and here's what he said, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, first thing, supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. And he goes on to talk about kings and those in authority and so forth. And if the following verses, God will have all men to be saved, keep it in context now. All right? That doesn't mean God's going to save every single human being. It means God will have all sorts of men. Kings, even kings. Paupers and kings. Presidents and laborers. But the first thing here, he impresses upon young Timothy, exhorts him, is to pray. First thing. First and foremost, is it. First thing. First part of the day. First part of the day, one of the old writers. I'll deal with that bulletin. Anyway, I've got a bunch of quotes by preachers in this next bulletin on praying, reading, and hearing. And one of the old preachers said, if you run from God in the morning, you're going to have a hard time finding him the rest of the day. That's a good statement. Call on it. First thing. First thing, each day, before you utter a word, I mean, this is ideal, and we don't do it. But wouldn't it be good before you speak, before you answer anybody, to ask the Lord to tell you how to answer? You know, the scripture says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly; you'll be just like him." Isn't that what it says? And then the next one says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Need to know when. Before we utter a word, before we give an answer, study. A wise man studyeth to answer. Ask it. Seek it. James said, if any lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask. We're faced with decisions not of the magnitude of Solomon. Those two harlots, you know, the baby. But we still got decisions to make, and we ask. Lord, I need wisdom from above. I need the same wisdom. Ask before any action, before we take any action. Oh boy, don't we make wrong moves? Don't we utter wrong words and wrong moves? Lord, order my steps according to that word. Let no iniquity have dominion on me. Pray, call, ask, seek. The Lord in Luke 18 gave a parable to this end, to this purpose. Parable of a widow who called on a judge to help her. And she kept calling and kept calling and kept calling until that unjust, ungodly man said, I'm going to answer her. And the Lord gave it to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not quit. Don't ever stop. Although Paul said this over and over, didn't he? Pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. Now, and I listened to a whole message by my pastor on prayer. And like I said, I don't have time to go into it. But it's not the posture. You can't physically get on your knees all the time. You can't do it. It's not necessarily praying out loud. It's just the heart going out to God. One of the old writers did say this, better to have a heart without words than words without heart. So prayer is not your posture. It's not. It's the heart going out to God. Pray without ceasing. You can do that, can't you? James said, if you lack wisdom, I just quoted that. He said this, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In that sense, shouldn't we be swift to speak to God to keep us from being swift to speak to men? Swift to hear the Lord and slow to speak. Oh, this wisdom must come from God and we need to ask for it. Prayer is communion. That's what it is. It's communicating. That's the word, communicating. It's calling on. In any relationship, if it's a good relationship, the more you speak, the more you talk, the more you communicate, the closer you'll be, right? The more you understand each other, and the closer you'll be. No communication, no relationship, right? And you'll feel estranged. How much more our God? That much more. So prayer is communion with God. Prayer is made up of these things. Praise. You don't have to ask for anything every time you pray. You know that, don't you? We pretty much do. But it ought to be more praise than anything, shouldn't it? Thanksgiving. Philippians 4. Everybody knows these verses, but you need to read them. You know, I have you turn because... And I don't quote those verses for you every Monday morning. There's a reason for that. I don't want to do the work for you. I want you to look at that. There's something to be said for seeking. It'll mean more to you. I can quote it to you, but it won't mean the same as with you looking at it. Right? You know what I'm saying. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, always with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to the Lord in prayer. That's what it said. Peace of God. Keep your hearts and mind. And keep that place right there. But prayer is praise. Prayer is thanksgiving. Prayer is confession. Isn't it? Confession. Confessing our sin. Don't confess your sins to one another. Don't do it. Confess your faults, not your sins. If we confess our sins to the Lord, he that confesses his sins and forsaketh them shall find mercy. And the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins. Confess our sins to the Lord in petition, supplication. You can ask the Lord, take anything, everything to him. Find a dog. Brother Bruce set me straight on that. In everything. He says everything, doesn't he? So prayer first and foremost. And James said, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. But look at Philippians 4. He goes on to say in Philippians 4, the peace of God passes understanding. And then finally, verse 8, brethren, finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, good news, for be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. What things? Now what's he talking about? You got it in your hand right there. God's Word. That's what's true. That's what's honest. This is what's just, pure, lovely, good news, virtue, praise. Think on these things, the things of God. It's all written right here. You have it in your lap. What a blessing. What a blessing. Reading God's Word. Things of God, the will of God, the mind of God. Oh, brethren, read God's Word. Read it. Read it. Put everything down and read God's Word. These things are a scourge on our society. The only good that this and computers have done is for the furtherance of the gospel somehow. Otherwise, I wish I'd never been invented. It keeps people from doing the things that are needful. Reading God's Word. Read God's Word. Read. Read God's Word. Read. Read. Read God's Word. For your faith, for your peace, for your joy, for your comfort, for your relationship with Him. As we said, the more you read of Him, the more you come to know Him and love Him and appreciate Him. 1 Timothy 4. Now go over here. 1 Timothy 4. This is an old preacher to a young preacher. And in Acts, when Paul told the church at, I think it was Ephesus or Antioch, to seek out men as make deacons out of, he said, we're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. He said, you seek out people to the wait table. But us, me, Timothy, Silas, and we're going to give ourselves to prayer and the word. That's what he said. So he tells young Timothy, this all applies to every believer. 1 Timothy 4, look at verse 13. Verse 12. This is so good, so weighty. Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believers in word. Now, I believe that means in speech, but also believe it means in your knowledge of the word. I remember when I first became a pastor of this church, I thought, I'm not ready. I don't know God's word. How am I going to teach it? I can't quote it like I want to. So what did I do? Read. And preaching, oh man, I couldn't get enough preaching to hear it. Read on. Be an example in word and conversation. That's your conduct, your course of life. That's what that means. What you're all about. In charity, love, and spirit, attitude, faith, purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading. See that? Exhortation is preaching, the doctrine. Give attendance to reading. He's telling young Timothy, like he told the Colossians, like he tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Immerse yourself, like Brother Chapman. You heard that message. Immerse yourself. He said if we would immerse ourselves in God's word, we'd know what way to take, how to think, how to act, how to walk, what to do. We know we wouldn't be in the dark. The entrance of thy word giveth light. The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light in my path. We're in the dark. We won't stumble in the light of it. Immerse yourself in the word. Read the word. Read him. He's telling young Timothy that, and he's telling us. David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? Don't you love David? We love to read David's psalm, don't we? Was David a praying man? Was David close to the Lord? We hear his prayers. Not all of them. Not all of them by any means. He prayed all the time. We just have some of them. Praying man. Was he a reading man? Oh, my. He said the word meant more to him than life. Let me just show you something. It's Psalm 119. Go back there with me. This is what we're doing now, isn't it? Reading God's word. And these are just some scriptures that speak of the word. 170 some verses speak of the precepts, law, and so on. That's the word. But look at these, and they mean something to those of you who know them, don't they? Psalm 119, look at verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. How many times have you looked at that, sister? When you need it. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. So dead, it's brought me back to life. And people, it's not a book. If you read it like a book, it won't mean anything to you. It's God's word. You ask Him to speak to you. It's called the living word because it's His word. If He doesn't speak to you, you're not going to get anything. So that's where prayer is so important. Look at verse 65. Psalm 65. These are verses you've looked at for years, ain't you? Verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. You've dealt well with me just like you wrote. It's all going according to your book. By the book. You know what? We can read the last chapter. We know the end from the beginning. Why would we fear? Look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I've kept your word. Word. It chastens us, doesn't it? Oh, how the word chastens us. If you be without chastisement, you're a bastard. Doesn't the word chasten you? Does the word make you, just rebuke you and reprove you and correct you? Good. Warn you? Look at verse 76. Let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word. Comfort. Kindness. Oh, if God speaks to us, it'd be a kindness. Verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word. Have you ever just looked and looked and looked for a word from the Lord? Lord, please speak to me. That's what David's saying. When will you comfort me? The only way he does is through his word. Right? Look at verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Often I quote verses that you know and love so well, some of you, and I see a big old smile come on your face, just like you ate a big old spoonful of honey. It is, and nothing sweeter. Sweet words, as cold water to a thirsty soul. 1:16. Look at verse 1:16. Uphold me according to thy word. The word lifts us up. The word holds us up. The word keeps us from being down. Number 123. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation, for the word of thy righteousness. 133. Order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. 140. Shall I go on? I'm telling you to read the word. I'm doing it for you. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Thy servant loveth it. There's nothing you hear or read in this world that's got any purity at all to it. Don't you hate it? You can't read or hear anything without them taking our Lord's name in vain. It sickens me. This book is so pure. Don't you? God's word. Pure word. Verse 148. Mine eyes, he said, I stayed awake at night that I might meditate in thy word. That'd be a good thing to do if you can't sleep. If all else fails, get up and read the word. Read Psalm 121. If you have trouble sleeping, read Psalm 121. Okay? You know what that says? He that keepeth Israel doesn't sleep. So you can go to sleep. And look at a couple more, okay? 158. I beheld transgressors and was grieved. They keep not thy word. 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. 170. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word. That's a good conversation. Yeah. It's a good and profitable time when you get together and you talk about God's word. Yeah. If you don't, you feel like it's been a waste of time. It's your day. Read. How long did that take for us to read it? And we sit and watch stuff for 2 hours. It ain't worth watching. And that didn't take us long. Did it bless you? Did some of those words bless you? Nothing else will. Oh boy. Deuteronomy 17. These are verses that I wrote in the front of my Bible when I first started preaching. Deuteronomy 17. And so I wrote them in every single Bible I've had since then. And I've got 5 or 6 in various places, so wherever I can turn, I'll have one. Yeah. By the bed, by my chair, in the study, in the attic, in the basement, in my truck. Honestly, don't use this. There's no effort involved in that. None. Dig. Search. That's what God blesses. Okay? Dig. It's a treasure to be dug. Don't let somebody else do it for you. You do it. Deuteronomy 17. I wrote this in front of every single Bible. Look at verse 18. It shall be when this king sits upon the throne of his kingdom. You have it? 17:18. Deuteronomy 17:18. And the king sits upon the throne of his kingdom. He shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest the Levite. And it shall be with him. He shall read therein all the days of his life, this ruler over men. Read it every day of his life that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children and the midst of Israel. We all are right there in the front of our Bible. So read it every day. Don't be lifted up with pride. You can't read God's word and have any pride. You can't pray continually and have much pride left. You can't. You know that? Can't be in God's presence having pride. So, read, brothers and sisters. If I can encourage you to do anything tonight, it would be this. Pray. Call on the Lord. Read God's Word. And in hearing, in closing, Revelation 1, and I close with this. Revelation 1. I've been 31 minutes. Revelation 1. Look at this. You know these verses. Hearing, as with prayer and reading, cannot grow without hearing God's Word. Cannot live without it. It's a vital sign, proof of life. You got five physical senses, don't you? Touch. What are they, Rob? Thank you, so smart. Touch, taste, smell, hear. You are smart. I'm just kidding. I'm being smart, Ellie. But touch, taste, and all these are spiritual senses. Touch, the feeling. Taste the Lord's grace. Smell, sweet smelling savor. Hearing. If you're alive, you're going to hear. Sight, see. You hear? Revelation 1, look at this. I love this. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant. Oh, I need Christ revealed to me, don't you? Where is it? Right in front of you. And I'm preaching it to you. You're reading it, and you're hearing it. It takes both. Things which must shortly come to pass. What's that? Him. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who's also an angel, a messenger, who bear record of the word of God. You see that? And the testimony, the gospel of Jesus Christ, of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep, lay hold of these things, the time is at hand. Isn't that wonderful? Behold, he cometh, verse 7, he comes with clouds. What do we say? Even so, amen. Verse 9, John, he says, I'm your companion. I was in the aisle for the word of God. I was there to receive the word of God. I'm so thankful. That was a real trial, wasn't it? John to be exiled by himself. He was all alone on that island for long. Oh, no, he wasn't. Oh, no, he wasn't. He wasn't alone. He couldn't have been in better company. He was sure glad, like Paul in prison, that the Lord put him there for the word of God, for the gospel. He said in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What? How do you get in the Spirit? Pray. Praying, Paul said in Romans 12, I think it's verse 12, praying always in the Spirit. How much more shall he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask for? Lord, on the Lord's day, I need the Holy Spirit. So you know what the Lord did when John asked? He heard a voice. And he turned and he saw his face. Here, Isaiah said, come unto me. The word, I have the word. Hear and your soul shall live. Here. Pray. So I hope I've encouraged all of them, myself included, to call. Pray without ceasing. First thing, always. Don't quit. Read this book. And then when you come on the Lord's day, you ask him and you read the text beforehand and you come and sit and ask for the Holy Spirit, and I believe the Lord will give you a blessing. A double portion. I hear it. Okay, stand with me.